"Chocolate," Jay said in warning. Beau blushed, then stalked over to Robert. "Come on, then, you!" Jay knocked once on Father Horst's door and walked in. The room had been the homestead's main bedroom when they moved in. It still had a double bed in it, but most of the floor space was taken up with packets, jars and pots of food they'd taken from the other deserted homestead cabins. Clothes and cloth and powered tools, anything small or light enough to be carried, filled the second bedroom in piles that were taller than Jay. Horst was getting up as the girl came in. He'd already got his trousers on, thick denim jeans with leather patches, a working man's garment, requisitioned from one of the other Savannah homesteads. She picked up the faded red sweatshirt from the foot of the bed and handed it to him. He had lost a lot of weight, a lot of fat, over the last weeks. Slack bands of flesh hung loosely from his torso. But even the folds were shrinking, and the muscles they covered were harder than they had ever been, though at night they felt like bands of incandescent metal. Horst spent most of every day working, hard manual work, keeping the cabin in shape, repairing and strengthening the paddock fence, building a chicken run, digging the latrines. Then in the evening there would be prayers and reading lessons. At night he dropped into bed as if a giant had held him with its fist. He had never known a human body could perform such feats of stamina, least of all one as old and decrepit as his. Yet he never wavered, never complained. There was a fire in his eyes that had been ignited by his predicament. He was embarked on a crusade to survive, to deliver his charges to safety. The bishop would be hard-pressed to recognize that dreamy, well-meaning Horst Elwes, who had left Earth last year. Even thinking about his earlier self, with its disgusting self-pity and weaknesses, repelled him. He had been tested as few had ever been before, his faith thrown onto towering flames that had threatened to reduce him to shreds of black ash, so powerful was the doubt and insecurity fueling them. But he had emerged triumphant. Born of fire and reforged, his conviction in self and Christ the Saviour was unbreakable. And he had the children to thank, the children who were now his life and his task. The hand of God had brought them together. He would not fail them, not while there was a breath left in his body. He smiled at Jay, who was as grave-faced as she always was at the break of day. The sounds of the usual morning bedlam were coming through the door, as bedding was put away and the furniture brought out. "How goes it today, Jay?"
"Same as always."
She sat on the end of the bed as he pulled on his heavy, hand-tooled boots. "I saw a starship arrive. It's coming down into low orbit." He glanced up from his laces. "Just one?"
"Uh-huh."
She nodded vigorously. "Ah, well, it's not to be today, then."
"When?"
she demanded. Her small, beautiful face was screwed up in passionate rage. "Oh, Jay." He pulled her against him and rocked her gently as she sniffed.
"Jay, don't give up hope, not you."
It was the one thing he promised them, repeating it every night at prayers so they would believe. On a world far away lived a wise and powerful man called Admiral Alexandrovich, and when he heard what terrible things had happened on Lalonde, he would send a fleet of Confederation Navy starships to help its people and drive away the demons who possessed them. The soldiers and the Navy crews would come down in huge space planes and rescue them, and then their parents, and finally put the world to rights again. Every night, Horst said it, when the door locked against the wind and rain, and the windows shuttered against the dark, empty savannah. Every night he believed, and they believed, because God would not have spared them if it was not for a purpose. "They will come," he promised. He kissed her forehead. "Your mother will be so proud of you when she returns to us."
"Really?"
"Yes, really." She pondered this.
"Robert wet his bed again," she said.
"Robert is a fine boy." Horst stomped on the second boot. They were two sizes too large, which meant he had to wear three pairs of socks, which made his feet sweat and smell.
"We should get him something," she said.
"Should we now? And what's that?"
"A rubber mat. There might be one in another cabin. I could look,"
she said, eyes all wide with innocence. Horst laughed. "No, Jay, I haven't forgotten. I'll take you out hunting this morning, and this time it will be Danny who stays behind." Jay let out a squeal of excitement and kicked her legs in the air.
"Yes, thank you, Father." He finished tying his laces and stood up.